Well, every person has a story, don't they? And it's a story that you can tell. And whether you think your story is important or not, I want you to know that your story is important to God. It's really important to God. In fact, that's one of the reasons in our refresh groups why we're sharing stories, not just stories of who we are, but we're sharing our faith journeys if you're part of a refresh group. And it's been a really interesting time because as people are sharing their faith stories, so many connections are being made, so many aha moments are being made to say, wow, my story is similar to that, or wow, I didn't know that God brought you through that. And so we're not really telling our story. What we're really telling is a story of how God has been at work in us, how God has used us, how God has worked powerfully in us. And so our stories are really important. They're powerful. And they're powerful because your story is what defines you. It's what makes you who you are. It's what shaped you. It's your story. And so, but our story oftentimes can change the course really in an instant. With every new decision. And maybe you can't control that happens to you, but what you can control is how you respond to what happens. And so the stories we're living are important because they can either be about drawing closer to God, or they can be a story that can move us away from the direction of God. And so the stories we're telling are important. But ultimately, God wants us to be part of His story, the story that God wants to write in your life. And so this morning I want to open really with a question, really two questions maybe. So the first one is this: what story do you want to be living? What is the story you want to be living? Or maybe more importantly, are you living the story you want to tell? Kind of a big question, I know. Well, today we're continuing our series called Average Joe. We've been going through the book of Genesis, not all the way through the book of Genesis. It's a long chapter, but we've been looking at the story of Joseph in the Old Testament. Joseph is the longest narrative about one person in the Old Testament, or at least in Genesis. And what we've been doing as we've been looking at this series about Joseph, I've seen that there's so many similarities to our life today. And it's really a story not necessarily about just Joseph, but it's a story about you and me, how God can take average Joes like you and me and can do far from average things through our life. And so today we're talking about important moments of decision where your life, where our life can tell a very different story. And so we're gonna open this morning. We're going to be looking in Genesis chapter 39. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. But we're going to look at Genesis 39 at three. We're going to zoom in on three different snapshots of points of decision that Joseph had to really live a different story. If he lived his story and made a decision one way, it would be a very different story. And I believe as we look at these three profoundly impactful decisions that Joseph had, I think it's even more important as you apply it to your own life. That maybe it's not the same situations that Joseph faces, but I think we all find ourselves in the same situations as Joseph. And so Genesis 39, just to catch you up as we prepare to read it, Joseph was the 11th of 12 sons. And he was the son of promise. He was the son that everybody, nobody knew was possible, but God made a way. And so all of his brothers were jealous of him. But not only that, it was like the 11th child syndrome. And maybe you don't have 11 children and you don't know how this is, but you know, the 11th child, they get everything. They're like, you know, the oldest people. I'm the oldest of five kids, and we see my youngest siblings. They get things that we didn't get. And it was kind of like that with Joseph. And so Joseph's father makes him this beautiful, or handsome, you might say, coat that was colorful. And all of his brothers look at that, and they despise him for it. But not only that, God comes to Joseph with these two dreams that really had to do with something big God wanted to do in his life. And so as he gets this vision or dream from God, his brothers hate him even more. And they wanted him gone really from the face of the earth. So what did they do? They sold him into slavery in Egypt. If you want to get rid of your brother, that's how to get rid of him. So that's kind of what happened. He gets sold into slavery in Egypt. And he was purchased as a slave by one of the Pharaoh's officials, who was the captain of the guard. Pharaoh was the main person, the president, if you will, the main person in charge of all of Egypt. So he was staying with the captain of the guard of Pharaoh's army. And that's where we'll pick up the scene today as we begin reading Genesis chapter 39. I'll ask as you remain seated this morning, because we're going to look at these in chunks in the three different snapshots as we'll zoom in on what that means for our life. So Genesis 39, I'll be reading very first 1 through 6, and we'll go from there. So hear the word from the Lord. It says, Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt. Potiphar, an Egyptian who was one of Pharaoh's officials, the captain of the guard, brought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him there. The Lord was with Joseph, so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and of all that he owned, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, but in the house, both in the house and in the field. So Potiphar left everything he had in Joseph's care. With Joseph in charge, he did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Now, have you ever found yourself in a difficult spot? Or maybe you've had one of those days before where nothing seems to go right. You know, it's like you know where you put your keys the night before, but you can't seem to find them, and you're late to where you need to go. You're trying to look for them everywhere, and you find that your little son Peyton has taken them. Maybe that's just me. Things like that where they just happen. Where for instance, you realize you walk out of the door and you realize you're wearing two different shoes. Two different colored shoes, and you're late for a meeting, or you're late for school, or you're trying to get somewhere, and of course there's a traffic jam, and of course you can't get to where you need to be, and maybe you get a flat tire somewhere. It's just those days where it's like everything seems to be against you. Everything is not going your way. And, you know, when everything seems to go wrong, you really have a decision to make to really live the story you want to tell in those moments of conflict. Or maybe even on a larger scale. I think this is what Joseph is encountering. Now, it's not a flat tire, and it's not losing his keys. He's sold into slavery in Egypt. This is a bad deal. It's not a good thing. Joseph is having a difficult time because he was, instead of immediately, God has called him. God has given this vision for his life. And he's like, yeah, I'm going to go live this out, Lord. Here's this dream God had. I want to live this out. But instead of immediately living into that dream, what happened? His brothers get angry. They throw him into a water cistern to hide him. They sell him into slavery in Egypt, and they fake his death by washing his robe in goat's blood in order to cover it up. I mean, this is a raw deal. And he's sold into slavery in a foreign country and all this sort of stuff. And so you look at Joseph, it's like, come on. Come on, what is up with that? Talk about being persecuted because God has called you to do something? That doesn't make any sense. So in the face of everything Joseph encountered, Joseph really had a choice, didn't he? It was a choice of how he was going to respond. He couldn't control all the things that came against him, but he had the opportunity to choose how he responded. He could either be an agent of blessing, an agent of God's blessing to other people, or he could be an agent of resentment. He could live his life like everyone owed him something, like he was, oh, poor him, my brothers hate me. Maybe God hates me. God's left me out. God's called me here, and all this stuff's happening to me. And he could just have a big pity party on himself, or he can choose to allow God's presence to be so real in his life for him to realize that God has never left him or never will forsake him, and God is with him right there in the middle of his mess. And God still wants to use him to flow through him and to make an influence in those around him. And that's really what Joseph did. You know, one of the difficult situations in my life, it's funny talking about high school things because it seems so long ago, but some moments in your life that happen that put you on a crossroads of how you're going to respond make such an impact on who you are and who you later become too. And I remember as a high school athlete, one of the most difficult seasons I had was when I actually got injured and I wasn't able to get on the field, and it was my senior year. And it was more than just playing football and having a good time and stuff like that, because God had given me a platform. And it was a platform where my teammates looked up to me. I was one of the leaders of the team. And when you're playing on the field, you can be an even bigger leader. But as I was hurt, I was finding in the middle of recruiting season and everything, looking around and saying, what is up with this? Like, why do I have this gift and I'm not able to use it? And why, God, would you give me a platform and all of a sudden it's not there? How do I respond and what do I do here? And it was an awful season. And as I realized that this injury was going to keep going on and on and on through the season, I had to watch. I remember standing there on the sidelines, watching practice, going from being the starting quarterback to not getting on the field and watching my teammates play. And I had a decision really to make that I could either have a pity party, I could sit there and to be an agent of resentment, be so mad at my situation and everything that had, or I could choose to be a blessing to others. I could choose to be an asset to the team, or I could choose to be a distraction to the team. And it was more than just the team, because this platform that God had given me, it was one of those things where when everything is going good, when everything is going good around you, we can say, yes, God is blessing me. Blessed be the Lord. We love you, Lord. You're awesome. But what happens as Christians when things seem to not be going the way you want it to go? Because it's in those moments that people look at us in our faith and say, I want to know if it's real there. And I realized that I could use this situation that was far greater than me. And it could be an opportunity where I throw away this opportunity and push God aside and have a pity party. Or I could have an opportunity to say, I'm going to take this platform that might be smaller than it used to be. And people that might be watching me right now is how I'm going to respond. And I can use this for God's glory and to be an asset and a blessing to those around me. And so, it really was an opportunity for me. And so, you know, when you go through difficult seasons where things just don't seem to be going the way you want them to go, you're not going the way you want them to go, things are messing up, I want you to know that God hasn't forgotten about you. That God will never leave you nor forsake you, that his love never fails. It never gives up. It never runs out on us, just as we sang. And as a Christian, you know, whether I realized that or not, people were looking up to me. People were looking up to me and how I responded and really had an opportunity. And I'll tell you, I wasn't perfect. There were certainly times where I stood there and I was so mad. I was so angry about not having the opportunity to get out there. But I realized that no matter what season that you're in, that God gives you opportunities to make an impact, even in those valley seasons that you stand in. Because I had as I stood there and as I waited, I could stand there and wait, or I could get to work. I could get to work and realize that no matter where you are, no matter where God has you, whatever season you're in, that God might want to use you right there, even in the middle of those circumstances. And I love that the scripture here makes it clear. In fact, this is a recurring theme throughout the life of Joseph. All this stuff's happening to him. It's like, come on, God, where are you in that? And it continues to remind us, and the Lord was with Joseph. And the Lord was with Joseph. And I want you to know that it's the same thing for you. You can insert your name, and the Lord was with your name. Because that's how it is in everything that you go through in your life. But as the Lord was with Joseph, God blessed everything that Joseph encountered. He blessed the household that he was in charge of. He blessed his master. He blessed his master's wealth. And he blessed everything he encountered and everyone around Joseph. And so even in a valley season, we all love mountaintop experiences, don't we? Where, you know, everything seems to be going right. You know, like we're doing well with our family. Our relationship with God is where we want it to be. Everything is working out in our work or in our school. Everything's just going the way it wants to go. We love those mountaintop seasons. But I want you to know that God has purpose for you in the valley. If you're in a valley season, God has purpose for you right there. And the Lord hasn't left you. The Lord is with you even in the valley. In fact, you may remember in the Gospels when Jesus, before he starts his public ministry, He spent 30 years training, learning the scriptures, and before he entered his public ministry, and before he was launched into that public ministry, right after his baptism, he's sent into the desert, and he's tempted, really by Satan, for three different temptations, and he goes through this difficult valley season, but that valley season is something that prepared him to lead people to the mountaintop, to lead them to who he was. And so I want you to know that God might want to use those valleys in your life. Those valleys may be the very best way to lead people into a growing relationship with him. And so when you're encountering things where everything all around you seems to not make sense and seems to be messing up, I want you to know that God has purpose for you, that God may be giving you a platform, and people might be looking at you because of your faith, and you have an opportunity to tell the story you want to tell, to live the story you want to tell. And so the next thing we're going to look at is Genesis chapter 39, verse 6 through 10. This is kind of a different snapshot. There's three different, very different snapshots of how Joseph lives, to tell live the story he wants to tell. And it says this in the end of verse 6. It says, "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome." Now this is not Joseph saying this. He didn't like scribble this in there. This is saying this about Joseph. "Now Joseph was well-built and handsome. And after a while, his master's wife took notice of Joseph and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he refused. He said, 'With me in charge, my master does not concern himself with anything in the house. Everything he owes, he has entrusted to my care. No one is greater in this house than I am. My master has withheld nothing from me except you, because you are his wife. How then could I do such a wicked thing and sin against God?' And though she spoke to Joseph day after day," and you know, the Bible doesn't like fill in the gaps here. She probably did more than speak to him. "And though she spoke to him, amplified day after day," it says this, "he refused to go to bed with her or even to be around her." And so this is just an interesting thing. And I have to just stop here and say, yeah, this is a PG-13 part of the Bible. This is like a different rating than some of the stuff that you might see. PG-13, and this is kind of the original Desperate Housewives. If you have glanced at, or if you're like an avid fan of Desperate Housewives, like this is the original thing, Old Testament style. And there's awesome things in this book. It's more than a book, but there's some really great things in this if you read it. God really, there's so many stories that we witness even today that just have happened in here that God has already wrestled with and dealt with and things like that. And people dealt with real issues because it was about real time, real people. And so that's why it speaks into our lives. So even though Joseph was living as a slave, here's the deal. He proved himself to be so trustworthy. Because of his character, because of his relationship with the Lord, he was so trustworthy. He was such a man of integrity that people began to take notice. And after a long time, Potiphar began to trust Joseph so much that he put Joseph in charge of everything that he had. It was an incredible opportunity. I mean, picture this. He's supposed to be living as a slave. And the master, Potiphar, his master says, "Here, just take charge of everything. Everything you touch is blessed. This is awesome. I want some of the blessing of the Lord. You just run my whole estate. Run my family. Tell me everything. I'll just worry about what I eat." And that's what it says. He worried about, all he had to worry about was what he eat. I mean, he wasn't like doing chores. He was like the main manager. And so I want you to think, though, about all the time this took. All the individual decisions this took, and all the trustworthy decisions he had to make before this to earn this kind of trust. Because I don't know about you, but I'm not going to give you all my bank account number, and I'm not going to let you manage my finances and everything else. I mean, this is like incredible trust, and he's allowing his slave to do this. So he had to prove himself to be faithful over time in so many different situations in order to get there. Just like any relationship, trust is earned over time. When Mandy and I moved here to start the church, and it's an opportunity to become anybody's pastor, I realized that trust is earned over time. And we love the opportunity to get to know each and every person that is connected here. And we realize that trust is earned over time. And I don't have the right immediately to become somebody's pastor, but over time as we continue to pour into you and love you and all this stuff, that trust is built up, and we have that opportunity to have a different kind of relationship, a pastoral relationship where we pour into you and you us and pray for us and things like that. And trust is earned over time. But because of the relationship with the Lord, Joseph lived as a man with deep integrity, and people around him began to take notice. And I want you to know the same thing happens for you and for me. When you live as people with integrity, if you're people that are surrounded by the love of Christ, it's obvious. And people around you will start to notice that. In fact, if you have a relationship with Jesus and you're living your life with integrity, God will often enlarge your territory of influence. God will often do that. And it may be giving you a bigger platform in your family, or maybe realizing that there's new opportunities that are there. It might be connecting you with more people at work or school or somewhere else that you can connect with the Lord that God has put in your path. It may be God blessing you financially. It may be even it may even be giving you a greater leadership opportunities in school or in your business or in your in any kind of organization. And just like in your finances and just like in any leadership position, any platform God gives you, if you're faithful with little, you will oftentimes have the opportunity to be faithful with much. But if you're not faithful with little, you probably won't be given much. And the Bible says, to whom much is given, opportunities, finances, so many things in our life, to much is given, much is required. And so for Joseph, he was given everything. There was a lot required of him, and he proved himself over and over and over to be trustworthy. And so I want you to know this, because when Potiphar's wife comes to Joseph and she's like, "Hey, Joseph," or whatever she says, you know, whatever she said, you know, waved her hanky or, you know, whatever they did back in OT time, Old Testament time. Joseph had a choice that was bigger than that choice that it might seem like. I mean, everybody knows, like, okay, what should I do here? What story do I want to tell? Like, oh, I gave into a temptation and I burned every bridge that I had built up, or that I was a man of integrity and I did what was right even when it was hard. Everybody knows that that's the story you should tell, but I think there's an even bigger thing at stake, because Joseph, there was a lot of trust that he had built up. And Joseph could use that opportunity to continue to live as a man with integrity, who was trustworthy in everything that he did, everything that he had, continue to be faithful to his master in the way that he lived. Or he could take a shortcut, pursue instant gratification, and forfeit the trust and influence that he had taken so much time to build up over something that wasn't even his. And so you can ask Joseph, "Joseph, what story do you want to tell? Do you want to tell the story of, like, yeah, I earned all this trust, and then in a moment, trying to instant gratification, trying to find something that would make me happy for just a short term, I jumped into that and I forfeited everything else, or that I lived as a person with integrity. I did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, no matter the cost." You know, you see this so many times in TV scandals, that they're people that we look up to, celebrities and musicians and athletes. I'm a big sports watcher, so that's what I do. But you just think of so many times where people have incredible platforms, and they can use that platform for so much good. But then what happens when something, a moral failure, or something happens in their life? Oftentimes that platform is not quite as big as it used to be, because people don't look up to them in the way that they did. And I want you to know that when we fall, we have a God who picks us up. We have a God who can work through that, who, no matter how we've sinned and how many times we messed up, God, his love never fails, that God continues to work in us and can even use that for our good. But I want you to think about the type of story you want to tell. I mean, how are you using the platform that God has given you right now? You may say, "Well, I don't have any titles. I'm just a student. I'm just a mom. I'm just a dad." But I want you to know that you've been given a platform, and we have an opportunity to use that platform for so much good, and to live in that platform, and to be trustworthy to that, to be a person of integrity in all that we do. How are you using that platform? What story do you want to tell? The next part comes from Genesis chapter 11. Genesis chapter 39, verses 11 through 20. And this is kind of how the story continues. Poor Joseph. I have to just tell you, I feel so bad about Joseph. You won't believe what's happened. He's done everything that's right, and you're going to see what happens to him again. And it says in verse 11, "One day he went into the house to attend to his duties," doing the right thing, right? "And none of his household servants were inside. She, the master's wife, caught him by the cloak and said, 'Come to bed with me.' But he left his cloak in her hand and ran out of the house." And we say, "Yeah, Joseph, way to go, buddy. Way to just run away from that." But it says in verse 13, "When she saw that he had left his cloak in her hand and had run out of the house, she called her household servants. 'Look,' she said to them, 'this Hebrew has been brought into us to make sport of us. He came in here to sleep with me, but I screamed.'" She's like making stuff up on the spot. Poor Joseph. It says in verse 15, But when he heard me scream for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house. She kept his cloak beside her until his master came home," which is her husband. It says in verse 17, "Then she told him this story: 'That Hebrew slave you brought us came to me to make sport of me. But as soon as I screamed for help, he left his cloak beside me and ran out of the house.' When his master heard the story his wife was telling him, saying, 'This is how your slave treated me,' he burned with anger," as you can imagine. It says in verse 20, "Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined." I mean, what is it? What is going on in the life of Joseph? I guess I have to ask you a larger question. Where do you turn when everything around you seems to not make sense? When you're doing what you're supposed to do, when you're following God with everything that you have, and stuff, circumstances, situations happen that just don't make sense. Where you look to God and say, God, I thought if I followed you, like, everything would work out and everything would be fine. What do we do when stuff doesn't make sense? And where do we turn? I mean, what an awful deal, because he did everything that was right, was living with integrity, and it says over and over and over that the Lord was with Joseph. The reason I love this story is because I think this is the same wrestling we deal with so many times in our lives. Because oftentimes, when we hear stories like that, we can easily say, well, see, that's what happens. That's what happens. Nice guys finish last. That's what happens, Joseph, when you show integrity, when you do what you're supposed to do. And if you were to say that, that would be missing out on the greatest part of the story that's going to come. But so many times, being a follower of Jesus, we look to Jesus and we say, God, if we just follow you, everything's going to be fine. But being a follower of Jesus doesn't mean that you're exempt from being found in the middle of confusing circumstances. God's not going to answer every question that you have on this earth. Sometime when you go to heaven, there's going to be a lot of questions that God can make sense of. And maybe there's things that are happening that just seem to be awful situations. And you look at those situations and you say, I don't believe this is of God. But I want you to know that God can even take those situations and maybe even over time can work in those situations to turn good out of it. Maybe God didn't cause those things to happen, but I want you to know that God is still working in your life. And God can still work to turn even bad situations into good. But it doesn't mean, because being a follower of Jesus means that God's going to zap your problems and everything's going to go away. It doesn't say that in the Bible. In fact, oftentimes people were persecuted because of their faith. Joseph encountered this. But what it does mean is that no matter what you're facing, that you're never alone. That God will never leave you nor forsake you. And even if God didn't cause things to happen, that God can take those difficult circumstances, awful situations, and what the enemy meant for evil, as we sang about, what Satan meant to drive you away from your faith in God, what Satan meant to design to put a wedge between you and your relationship with God, what's intended to make you walk away and say, I'm done with you, God. God can even work in that right now to hijack the plan that was there to mess up your relationship with God. And God can turn that around for your good and for his glory. And God can even use situations like that to lead people in your family and in your sphere of influence to him. And so Joseph had really another choice to tell a different story, to tell a particular story. He could choose to trust God or he could choose to give up on God. He could choose to say, you know what? God, I've trusted you this whole time. I've done so many things to follow you. I've done what was right. And what do I have? I've been sold into slavery. I've been thrown into jail. I've been falsely accused of rape. And where am I now, God? He could choose to say that and give up on the Lord, or he can choose to say, no matter what I face, Lord, I know that you are with me. I know that you haven't left me, and I know that somehow you have a plan for my life and you have a plan for this situation, even to turn it into good. And I'm going to trust you to become my defender, as the scripture says, and to become my protector. And I know, God, I trust that you will even use this awful situation for my good, to grow me, to strengthen me, and even to lead people to you. So I want to ask you this morning, what story do you want to tell? What's a story you want to live? Because there's so many opportunities. You're constantly in positions to live a different story. And it may not be the same stories as Joseph, but it may be. It may be just like Joseph, to become an agent of blessing to others or to be an agent of resentment. It could be to have integrity in a difficult circumstance or to throw that integrity away and toward instant gratification. It could be to turn away from God. Or it could be in the face of confusing, difficult things that you don't understand, to say, God, blessed be your name, and I'm going to trust in your name. And so I want you to think about those moments in your life, those moments of decision or opportunity that are in front of you right now. Because they are opportunities to tell a different story. Maybe for your business, maybe in your school, maybe the way you're leading your family. Maybe in a difficult circumstance, you have an opportunity to live the story you want to tell. And so this morning, I want to invite you to think about that story you want to tell. Because you want to make sure that you're living that kind of story that's faithful to God, and it's a story that's worth telling. As we prepare to, as the band comes forward to sing this song in response, it's called Cornerstone. And I want you to know that this song, you may not know what a cornerstone is, but the basic part of a cornerstone is that it's basically saying God holds you all together. That a cornerstone is the center stone that holds a whole archway together. And as we're singing Christ Alone, Cornerstone, I want to invite you to be thinking about those situations that God has you in, those moments of decision. And I want you to know that God is with you. He is your cornerstone that can hold you together, that if you put your trust and your faith in Him, then you'll stand. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. God, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for those moments of opportunity that You place us in. And God, we thank You we're not alone when we face them. That God, You stand right beside us. You stand in front of us. You stand right behind us to catch us even. God, You're always with us. And so, Lord, we pray that by Your Spirit and by Your grace, by Your power, you would enable us to live that kind of story. Story for our family, story for our business, the story for our school, the story in our sphere of influence that we want to tell. Lord, we pray that it would be for Your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.